Well, good morning and welcome to our family service, which we have every month, except in August, so it's the first of the new academic year, putting it like that. Well, we had our Bible reading a moment ago, and we have been looking at various parables over the last few months, and so we come parable, the great banquet, the great supper, as we read there in Luke chapter 14. And, well, a little bit out of our league, I suspect, this for most of us, but we've got to imagine very rich, very mighty landowner, great properties there and titles, and having the wherewithal to be able to put on a grand banquet, massive feast to which he was going to invite all the community. So, you've got to imagine, I don't know, putting it into modern sort of ways there. I don't know, a building like this. We have some visitors here today. I don't know whether they have somewhere like that to dwell. They must tell me afterwards if they do. But somewhere like that, we can imagine. You may even be able to tell me where this is. There's a bit of an optician's test at the back here today. You may need specsavers if you can't read all of this. But where do we think that is? Think local here. Think local. So Cruz is there. I'm going to go to it in a minute. Nobody else will. Chatsworth, thank you very much. So Chatsworth, you know, big palatial dwelling, rich, titled people, got the wherewithal to lay on something like this here. Look at this. Visitors here, we have fellowship meal. Can't quite promise that, but it'll be good. There, look at this, something a bit more than. And all seated there, fine foods. There's another one here. I think you can just about make it out. Places there, fine plush chairs, and very exotic cuisine. Looked on the list to see if we got anything quite matching there for fellowship meal, but that's fair, fine cuisine there that's on offer. So you can imagine something like this. Not the sort of meal perhaps we frequently attend, but a wedding or something like that, or anniversary meal, something special. And there it is. And this wealthy landowner with the means to be able to put on something like this. The time is ready. All of those places, you can imagine there, the places are all empty, the seats are waiting to be filled. There is food aplenty for any who will come. And so it comes to the moment. Finding out, well, who's going to come? Often if you have a big event like that, you've already sent out your invitations and had your RSVPs, yes, can come, or sorry, can't come. But on this occasion, no, it's just there, open, it's been advertised, and we wait to see who is going to take up the owner on this offer. Because this owner of this grand property, all the means to be able to offer this beautiful feast. He doesn't have to do this. He doesn't, you see. We could say of him, then he might say this to himself. Oh, it's all the people there. I don't have to do all this. I don't. I'm, in fact, doing you an undeserved favor. I could just keep all of the good things I have for myself and my immediate family. We could enjoy each other's company, and we'll be absolutely fine. We don't, strictly speaking, need you. But I'm doing you an undeserved favor in saying to you, come. Come and enjoy the good things that I have. I'm generous, and I'm kind, and I'm wanting to do this. I want you to come and be seated here and to be able to enjoy all of my generosity and kindness. I don't have to do it. I want to do it, I'm willing to do it, so here it is. There is your invitation. So the servants go out. Well, if you put them into this kind of language here, you can imagine them, couldn't you, today, in whatever dress they're very, very decorated and gilded and going out to find various people. Oh, when we read in the Bible a moment ago, what an anticlimax. All of this wonderful things on offer, the kindness of this rich landowner, this titled gentleman there, doing all of these things that he doesn't have to do. Out go the servants, imagine them perhaps expectantly coming to the people there, saying, it's ready, come now, everything is prepared. And it's an anticlimax. That the people that you would have thought were ones go, oh, wonderful, I've been waiting for this so long. This is the moment, I'm coming, I'm ready. But it wasn't like that, was it at all? And so the first person, that's a field there, okay, that's a field. He's bought a field, bought some land, and he's going to have a look at it. He's going to check it out and see whether it was worth purchasing it. Perhaps he'd heard about it from somebody there and was a little bit sort of wondering whether it was a good purchase or not. So he's going to go and check his land, see whether it's going to have the right soil to grow his crops and the grass. Well, our lawn's doing well there, isn't it? There, whether the grass is going to be luxuriant and he's going to be able to graze his animals on it or what he's got. Is it a good purchase? I need to go and find out now. Sorry, I can't come. Please pass on my apologies. Something else on my mind, something else a bit more important, can't stop now. So he turned away, made his journey to his field, and we hear of him no more. Well, the servants come to somebody else. That's one reaction. Who would turn down a wonderful supper like this, a great banquet? You could go and look at your field some other time. You have to do it right there, right then, when you've got something as good as this on offer. Anyway, that was his priority. Well, the other man, the second one they came to, what are these fine, sturdy creatures, James? They aren't they? These are oxen. I hope I haven't been fooled there on the internet. The images of oxen I looked up, and so I got some of these. There they are, fine-looking creatures, sure. They'll pull your plough. If your land there needs a bit of work doing on it, you'd have some of those. And he's got five sets of these oxen. There's a fair few oxen. But he thinks, I want to go and check these oxen that I've just bought to make sure they're not lame again. Have I been sold something a bit less than? Sorry. Thank you for the invitation to the supper, but I've got to go and check these oxen. So please pass on my excuse there to the landowner. And yeah. And so he walks off. There he is, and he finds his oxen. Well, we don't know whether he liked them or not, whether it was a good purchase or not. He disappears from the story at that point. Gone. Well, anticlimax. All of this wonderful fare, all of this good food, all of this joy and celebration, these good things. Actually, these oxen, they have their appeal, I'm sure they do, but you would have thought that in the light of something as grand as this, you might go and look at them a different day. Day after or some other time. They won't go away, I'm sure, these oxen. But anyway, this man thought, no, I've got to go now. Well, they come to somebody else. Ah, he says. Almost as if, he doesn't even have to give so much of an explanation. Just got married, new wife, can't come. That's it. It's the shortest of all the statements. And, well, I'm told, anyway, who is the... If you can tell me who a woman is, even better, but who's the man there? A bit of Specsavers, I don't know. Anybody can quite pick that one out? The man here? He's not from Crich, I can tell you that. Well, I'll answer my own question then. Vladimir Putin. This apparently is his new wife. There we are. Again, I hope the internet there is not telling me something that isn't quite so. But anyway, there it is. It looks like that's the wedding day there, and there he is, looking pretty stern, really, but anyway, he's there, and that's his new wife. Just got married. Can't come today. Have to attend to this. Thank you for the invitation. Please pass on my excuses. Disappears from the story. We don't hear from him again. So what an anticlimax. All of these good things, wonderful things, generosity. There is the landowner who wants to bring these people in, whose heart is there to do them some good, and they all refuse. Various reasons, okay, fields and oxen, very new wife, very important indeed, but could wait. These things could wait another time. You should hear this invitation, and when the moment comes, go then. Go then, don't wait, postpone, go then. Attend to all the other things in their due place. But that's how it is in the parable. And of course, after that, goes to the servants. He's angry with all these people. All this kindness and generosity, and they've thrown it back at me that these other things are more important. So he says, go out, find the lame, the maimed, and the blind, the poor, bring them in. The servant said, well, we've done that actually already, and there's still room. Well then, the landlord says, go to the highways and the byways, go and look for people in the hedges. Compel them, tell them you really, really must come and share in all of these good things. Because he wants his house to be full, he tells his servants. So we imagine there the servants go out, they do what the master has said, go to the highways and the byways, they look in the hedges. Not sure what the response is. We're left to think about that, aren't we? And then he declares, of course, that all these people who didn't think the banquet was that important, worth dropping these other priorities to go for, will not get a taste of that supper. So there was something there, a sting in the tail for them. Well, what about us then? Here is the most wonderful, wonderful invitation. There will not be an invitation as good as this that your ears will ever hear. That a God who made the heavens and the earth, who is almighty and glorious, is prepared to forgive sinners and to say to them, come, enjoy fellowship with me. My son I have placed here on the cross. He has bled and died in pain. That is the penalty of sin. That is what we deserve, punishment. He has had that punishment in the place of sinners. Sin is forgiven and atoned for through his blood. Put the matter away. Forgiveness. Come and receive it and enjoy all that I can offer. You will be in heaven. You will have friendship with me. You will enjoy guidance and help. You will experience my love and my power. Come. Here is all that you need. Come. You won't need to look anywhere else, in any other place else, what your soul really needs. My son has provided for everything by his death. He has brought it about that you can have a place at this wonderful supper. Will we come? Or do we have excuses? We kind of think, well, yeah, it sounds quite good. Yes, I can understand. Yes, that's the sort of thing that might appeal, sure. But other things are more important. I don't know. Talking grown-up stuff here, aren't we? But, you know, my career. You know, I've got a future. Going places. I don't know. Maybe that. Relationships. Friends. What will they say? What will they say about me? If I come to this supper and I'm known to be one of those who's with God and that I believe in Jesus Christ, what will they say about me? Is that something that's going to be more important than this? Being found there amongst the king's people and in his house and enjoying his banquet? Relationships or your pleasures? There's too many other things. Too many other things going on with me. Can't stop now. Kind of interested, a bit interested, but leave it another day. Too many other things at the moment. My pleasures, my future career, my relationships, my pleasures, and various other reasons too we could give. Well, we would say, nice invitation. Yeah, this sounds quite good, but actually at the moment, other things are more important. There are my excuses. That would be tragic. These people disappear from the story, and they end up being threatened there, then they're not going to taste any of the supper. They missed it. They didn't go to heaven, if you like, putting them from out of the story into real life. Those people didn't go to heaven. They missed it. They ended up condemned and sentenced. And what Christ did, well, he didn't do for them in the end. That wasn't any help to them. You see, which hedge or highway are you in, perhaps? Where the Lord is searching out for those whom he might instruct and urge and appeal to. Where are you? Which place? Because you see, you might be completely without a purpose, not knowing where you are, where you're going. You see, he can bring you out of that hedge, out of that ditch, out of that wandering highway, byway, some country lane, you don't know where it's going, one of those with grass growing down the middle of it and no signpost. He can give you direction and purpose. He can show you good things. Here at his table, coming to him, finding his forgiveness and his power, his purpose and hope. Are you without hope? So people are. Hope is in short supply. You know that out there. Hope's in short supply. Many of the things I'm sure you hear at school or hear about wherever you hear about it. It's not hope. They're not giving you anything solid and true and reliable and eternal. Here it is. God offering a banquet to the soul. Everything that you would need. All of it. And there he can provide you with a future and a hope. He'll provide you with careers and relationships. And my, there are pleasures at his right hand forevermore. You don't miss out. He'll have your place for your oxen there, and if you're getting married for that, and if you're buying a field, all has its place. But oh, he can give you so much more than that. Reality. Hope for the soul. So, are you perhaps trying to find God? Are you in the hedge somewhere? You're struggling a bit. It's not all clear to you yet. Look, it's so beautiful, simple, straightforward. God's generosity, grace. He doesn't have to do this. We don't deserve it, actually. We deserve wrath. We deserve his anger. We deserve all the exclusion from this beautiful place, the home of heaven. We deserve all of that. But he gives us instead, to those who repent of their sin, life in heaven. All of its beauty and its wonder. Are you trying to find your way to such realities? Jesus Christ. Every time, the only one, the only way. And through his blood, atoning for sin, we find life. Pleasures forevermore at the right hand of God. Trying to find him in that ditch, in that hedge, struggling around. Jesus Christ, it's as straightforward as that. Jesus Christ, that you trust him, believe him for eternal life. And he rose from the dead. There's hope, you see. There's purpose and everything. He rose from the dead. He's alive forevermore. Nobody else, no other religious figure can we say that of, but we can say that of him. And he's alive there and can give life to any that will seek him. So there we are, the parable of the great banquet. Let it not be said of you that you made excuses, wouldn't come, and never got there. You didn't taste it in the end. You were excluded from it. Be one of those who might have been out in the highways and the byways and in a hedge somewhere and in a ditch, but you were found and you felt the power of that appeal, speaking to sinners out of a love and compassion. Come and believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Joy then. Heaven, I can tell you, will eclipse the glory of anything that you'll find on earth. That and much more than that will be what he promises and will give you.